learn.
Right.
Okay. Very good. It's open in prayer. Father, thank you again for your goodness to us. We ask you to be with us, open our hearts and minds as we look into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You want to start reading John 49?
Yep.
Okay.
Listen, O coastlands, to me, and take heed, you peoples from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb. From the matrix of my mother, he has made mention of my name, and he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has hidden me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver, he has hidden me. And he said to me, "You are my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified." Then I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and in vain. Yet surely my just reward is with the Lord, and my work with my God." And now the Lord says, "Who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, so that Israel is gathered to him? For I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength." Indeed, he says, "Is it too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel? I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, their Holy One, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nation abhors, to the servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, and he has chosen you. Thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people to restore the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages, that you may say to the prisoners, 'Go forth,' to those who are in darkness, 'Show yourselves.' They shall feed along the roads, and their pastures shall be on all desolate heights. They shall neither hunger nor thirst, neither heat nor sun shall strike them, for he who has mercy on them will lead them. Even by the springs of water he will guide them. I will make each of my mountains a road, and my highways shall be elevated. Surely these shall come from afar. Look, those from the north and the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, and break out in singing, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy on his afflicted. But Zion said, 'The Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Your sons shall make haste. Your destroyers and those who laid you waste shall go away from you. Lift up your eyes, look around and see. All these gather together and come to you, as I live, says the Lord. You shall surely clothe yourselves with them all as an ornament and bind them on you as a bride does. For your waste and desolate places and the land of your destruction will even now be too small for the inhabitants, and those who swallowed you up will be far away. The children you will have after you have lost the others will say again in your ears, 'The place is too small for me. Give me a place where I may dwell.' Then you will say in your heart, 'Who has begotten these for me, since I have lost my children and am desolate, a captive and wandering to and fro? And who has brought these up? There I was left alone, but these, where were they?' Thus says the Lord God, 'Behold, I will lift my hand in an oath to the nations and set up my standard for the peoples. They shall bring your sons in their arms, and your daughters shall be carried on their shoulders. Kings shall be your foster fathers, and their queens your nursing mothers. They shall bow down to you with their faces to the earth and lick up the dust of your feet. Then you will know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed to wait for me. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the captives of the righteous be delivered? Thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible be delivered. For I will contend with him who contends with you, and I will save your children. I will feed those who oppress you with their own flesh, and they shall be drunk with their own blood as with sweet wine. All flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. There's a lot in there.
Hey, yeah.
You
Want
know,
any? Yeah, go
the
ahead.
verse 8, where it says, "In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you." Isn't that quoted
Yeah,
in Corinthians, I think?
I think it's it
Where?
the in the New Testament is for now is the
Right, so
acceptable
now is the
time,
acceptable
now is
time. Now is the day of your
the day of
salvation.
salvation.
Isn't that
Yeah.
that's
I
Corinthians,
don't
right?
know what the reference is, do you?
I can find it. Yeah, because it says, "Behold, now is the." Yeah,
Second Corinthians.
2 Corinthians 6:2.
Okay. And what's the context there?
Yeah, let me pull up 2
Why does
Corinthians.
Paul quote that? I'm just curious.
Hold on, give me a second here. 2 Corinthians 6:2. "We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, 'In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you.' Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed." And
Okay.
so on and so forth. So, yeah, that stood out to me as I was reading.
Yeah, what stood out to me was this when it says in verse 6, and he said, "It is a light thing that thou shouldst be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth." Now, up in verse 3, it says, God is speaking to Israel, "Thou art my servant, O Israel, whom I will be glorified." And then he continues down. So, on the one hand, he's saying to Israel, "You're going to be a light to the nations." But I'm wondering if this doesn't also have implications regarding the Messiah
Yeah,
that
you know,
he's sent,
that's what I
because
was thinking as I was reading it, because all of the personal pronouns are capitalized, like
well,
the me.
that's the
I
translator.
thought that that always indicated that that was Christ.
Not necessarily.
Oh, okay.
The only thing that definitely indicates something is when they put Lord all in capital letters. What that indicates is that it's real underneath that in the original, it's Yahweh.
I
Other than
okay.
that, the capitalization is there's no capitalization in the originals, in the Old or New Testament, with the
And
exception, I think, of Mystery Babylon. I think that is all caps in the text itself. There's, don't think you've heard
and
that.
so you're saying that that's more of an interpretation.
Yeah, it's trying. They're saying, okay, this pertains to Christ, therefore we're going to capitalize it. It's not.
Right.
There's no capital if, when you're using a pronoun in the
Well,
original.
so then, in a sense, then it is referring to Christ, then.
Well, in the, I think traditionally that's what the understanding has been, and that's why the translators translate it that way. Can you give me an example of which verses you're, or and one of the verses? Because I'm
Yeah.
not sure I even see it here, but
Yeah,
go
so
ahead.
all of mine are, but let me
Give me
find.
one.
So, for example, when he says in 2, and he, capital, has made,
Okay. Now, the King James is lowercase.
okay, and then he says, "has made my," capital,
No, lowercase in the King
"mouth like a
James.
sharp sword, and in the shadow of his," capital, "hand," he, capital, "has hidden
Wow.
me," capital,
Okay, well,
"and
that none
made
of that is
capital
in.
me a Apollyshath, and in his quiver he has hidden me." All of those
Okay. So
are.
then your translation is taking the position, if there's any reference to Christ or God, we're going to capitalize the pronoun.
Yeah.
And that's new. That's not something that
Is yours like that? Yeah.
Carmen's is.
Yeah.
Okay, I have the King James, the old King James that was used,
Okay, well,
but I'm just saying that's different.
just to say that when you said that you thought that it may have been referring to the Messiah, I was saying that, well, the way that this
Oh yeah,
reads.
because the pronouns are all capitalized, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
What else can we get from
Now,
that?
one thing that is capitalized in the King James is verse 7, thus saith the Lord. Well, that has to be capitalized. But they capitalize Redeemer, they
Yeah.
capitalize Holy One.
Yes.
So that, they definitely do, but they don't capitalize the pronouns. But I think the reason they capitalize these is because they're titles. It's the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel. It's like a title, and His Holy One being a title of some kind. But anyway, we're quibbling about things that don't matter.
And then in
And continuing verse 7, it says, "Kings shall see and arise; princes also shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful." And the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Now, what? And 7 starts out saying, thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his, oh, Israel's Holy One. Okay, I see what they're maybe saying.
yes. The Redeemer
Okay,
of Israel,
the
their holy.
Lord is the Redeemer of Israel, and is Israel's Holy One. I get it. Help thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritage. Well, I think the reason I think it pertains to the Messiah, and this is a, is that these are the promises that were traditionally delegated to the Messiah to set the captives free, to establish peace on earth. These are major things. I think what it's saying is, yes, it's God always works through his people. And I think you could even say the Messiah is going to work through his people. That's why when the Christ returns, he comes with the armies in heaven to wage war on the enemies of God. Well, anyway.
In a verse 10, they shall neither hunger nor thirst, neither heat nor sun shall strike them. Isn't that referenced somewhere else too? Revelation or something like that?
I don't know.
Where
Let me see what I can find on that, looking
sun
in the
will not
concordance.
strike them. I remember hearing that somewhere.
I think you're right. It may be in numerous places. Let's see if we can find something. Hunger, thirst. Well, let's look up hunger and see if I can find. That's probably a lot of them,
Oh,
but
Psalm
not
121.
that many. Not that many. Somewhat.
121. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night.
Okay. How about Revelation 7:16? They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Okay, Revelation 7:16.
Yeah.
Amazing. That's directly referring to Isaiah.
So in Isaiah and Revelation, that's talking about
Let me see what
the
Revelation
new Jerusalem, the heaven.
in I don't know, because In chapter 7 of Revelation, that's, I think, I don't know what he's talking about. Let me see what that is. 7:16. Therefore, he said, who are these who are arrayed in white robes? This is what John is asking. He's asking, I don't know who he's asking in this context. It
Isn't
says,
that
and
the angel who's showing
one
you
of the
the
el no, one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? So it's not even John. It's one of the elders that are standing around the throne said to me, who's me? Gotta go. After these things, I, that's John, saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. And I saw another angel. And I heard the number. I'm going down verse 4. At 9, after this, I beheld a low great multitude. And so it's got to be John. And one of the angels, one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, serving day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on, nor any heat, which is quoting Isaiah. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes.
Yeah, so that's talking about heaven.
It's the throne of God. Definitely. So what's what are we
I'm
concluding?
sorry. That Isaiah, therefore, is also talking about heaven.
I think he's talking, that's a good point. I don't know if he is. That's the funny thing, though.
It's funny that my commentary re references Psalm 121, which I did earlier, but it doesn't say anything about Revelation.
And yet it's clearly the same wording.
Yeah. In fact, the Revelation one was the one I was actually re thinking about initially.
Thinking, yeah.
So I don't know
Thing,
what to say if this
one
isn't
thing
just about.
that, no, one thing that might make this make a little more sense is, you know, Jesus said, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Yeah.
What is going on in heaven, in the spiritual realm, is also in an earthly sense being transacted on earth. And there's a principle there of as in heaven, so on earth, that's very consistent in Jewish thought. And I think it what was in Jesus' prayer, it's reflected also. We don't really concentrate too much on that anymore. But in other words, you look at it as if things are that go on in two different dimensions simultaneously. They go on in heaven and they go on earth. But what's going on earth is not always in sync with what God's will in heaven. That's why Jesus said to pray. That this synchronicity be restored between what's going on in heaven and what's going on earth. That is the kingdom of God. That is the establishment of the kingdom of God, rather. So since Isaiah is talking about the establishment of the kingdom of God, and John is talking about what's going on in heaven, it's not that they're out of sync, it's that it's being looked at from two different perspectives. Does, At least that's how I would, if I had to explain it, that's what I would say. Why the, because yes, I agree with you. What John John is not viewing anything that's going on earth. He's viewing something that's going on in heaven, but is soon to be brought to earth. Because this, what, when John in Revelation 7 is talking about, these are the first visions he has before even he gets the visions of, certainly before he gets the visions of the tribulation period, and definitely before he gets to talking about the return of Christ and the establishment of the kingdom. So he's seeing what's going to be happening on earth, but right now when he's looking at it, it's happening in heaven. At least that's what I think is going on here.
So you're saying that what's happening on Earth is a mirror image of what's taking place in heaven?
Not it's necessarily a mirror, but in other words, God's will is being enacted in heaven, but his purpose is to bring his will to be operative on earth. That is the purpose of the kingdom initially and ultimately the new heaven and new earth, where God is everything. He's the light. And so John is seeing that perfect state in heaven that has not yet been brought into being on earth.
Okay.
That's how I would interpret it. Because otherwise, what can you say about it? You say Isaiah is seeing heaven, but it seems like he's talking about very physical things. They shall not shall for he that hath mercy on them shall lead them even by the springs of water shall he guide them. I guess you could spiritualize that just as easily as you could say that it's going to be actually manifested on earth, but I think it's the latter. He's talking about all the Jews who have been scattered throughout the world being restored to brought back says in 22, thus saith the Lord, I will lift up my hand to the Gentiles and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders.
What do you think it means in verse 16 when he says, "See if I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands"?
That he, I think that's indicating that there's other cases where he talks about like them being like a signet ring. It's something that you can't, that you always see and always remember. It's like it when people get tattoos. Why do they do that? Sometimes it's when they have some monumental thing happen in their lives that they want to commemorate and remember all the time, every time they see it. I think that's what God's saying. I have written you on my hand so
Do
that
you
every
think that
time
that has anything to do with the crucifixion?
could, certainly that would be like a sign on your hands. Jesus said, behold the scar,
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
in my hand. Could be.
Anything else?
Let's see. No, I think that's probably it. I'll read 50. Thus said the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have you sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem, or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers of a wilderness. Their fish stinketh, because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He waketh morning by morning. He waketh mine ear to hear as the learned. Now, this is referencing Matthew 11:28 in mine. I don't know what that says, but I'm going to take a look. Matthew 11:28. And it says, all things, Jesus says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Well, I don't see how that relates necessarily, but the thing that's notable here is in verse 4, it switches from the Lord God, who was talking in verse 1 through 3, to the Lord hath God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in the season. Who's the me?
And reading the scriptures.
The what?
Whoever is reading it at the time.
Oh, I always thought that was re that definitely was referring to Jesus. That Jesus and the Messiah is saying, the Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season.
I see. Yeah.
5, the Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. So that's clearly sounds like it's the Messiah
100%.
talking.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's amazing how accurate that is, because that's exactly what was described.
For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. This, behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Sounds like Romans 8, doesn't it?
Yeah. It is the Lord who justifies. All right. Yeah.
There. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks ye have kindled. This shall ye have in my hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. Now, this is not positive, this verse 11. I think it's what the Lord is saying is that if you're good at kindling a fire and encompassing yourself with sparks that you've generated of, by yourself or out from, You're trying to create light, but you're creating it not, it's not the light that God has given us.
Yes.
It's, you're trying to create this guidance for yourself. And
Yes.
he says, that's going to be, it's not going to, it's your own reward. It's your own condemnation because you shall
Yeah,
lie
that
down.
reminds me of Gates of Eden, where it says, with his candle lit into the sun,
Yeah. Though it flows, but waxed in
waxed
black.
in black. Yeah. It's like, yeah, that's your light is merely just sparks
It's
from.
darkness in comparison to the light of the sun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a beautiful image. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone and blessed him, and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving in the voice of melody. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation. For a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and mine arm shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on mine arm shall they trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. This has got all kinds of references: 2 Peter 3:10, Matthew 24:35. For that last 24:35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Here he's talking about heaven and earth passing away, but my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. 2 Peter 3:10. Says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. There's another verse in the New Testament that talks about, I think that talks about, the earth shall like a garment that. No, it talks about the scroll. Shall, in the New Testament, it talks about something rolling up like a scroll, the heavens. So it's a little different imagery. So where are we? 7. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteous, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings. For the moths shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Awake, awake, put on strength. O arm of the Lord, awake as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. Art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art thou not it which hath dried the sea, the waters of the great deep, that hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over? Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldst be afraid of a man that shall die? and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass, and forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and hast feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? The captive exile hasteneth that he may be loosed, and that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. But I am the Lord thy God that divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which has drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling, and wrung them out. There is none to guide her among all the sons whom she hath brought forth. Neither is there any taken. Neither is there any that taketh her by the hand of all the sons that she hath brought up. These two things are come unto thee. Who shall be sorry for thee? Desolation and destruction, and the famine and the sword. By whom shall I comfort thee? Thy sons have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets as a wild bull in a net. They are full of the fury of the Lord, the rebuke of thy God. Therefore hear now this, thou afflicted and drunken, but not with wine. Thus saith the Lord and the God, the Lord, thus saith thy Lord, the Lord, and thy God that pleadeth the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again. But I will put it into the hand of them that afflict thee, which have said to thy soul, bow down that we may go over. And thou hast laid thy body as the ground and as the street to them that went over. There's a reference here to Psalm 66, and I think I know what it's going to be. Let's see, Psalm 66. Let me find it. 66:11. That says, thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidst affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. Yeah, that's definitely seems to be being referenced there.
Yeah.
Want to take 52?
Yeah.
Okay.
Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no longer come to you. Shake yourself from the dust, arise. Sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the bonds of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus says the Lord, you have sold yourselves for nothing, and you shall be redeemed without money. For thus says the Lord God, my people went down at first into Egypt to dwell there. Then the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now, therefore, what have I here, says the Lord, that my people are taken away for nothing? Those who rule over them make them wail, says the Lord, and my name is blasphemed continually every day. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he who speaks. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Your watchmen shall lift up their voices. With their voices they shall sing together, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord brings back Zion. Break forth into joy. Sing together, your waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our Lord, of our God. Depart, depart, go out from there, touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her, be clean, you who bear the vessels of the Lord, for you shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Just as many were astonished at you, so his vicious visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So he shall sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him. For what had not been told them, they shall see. And what they had not heard, they shall consider.
So oh, I'm looking for something here. In 2 Corinthians 6:17, Paul quotes, "Wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Now, that's verse 11 of chapter 53, isn't it?
Yep.
I'll read chapter 53. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with the stripes we were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. I just remembered something. When in Acts, it talks about the Ethiopian eunuch that Philip meets on the road. Isn't he reading from this passage? I think that's in Acts.
Oh, yeah.
Chapter was 5.
And I have to look.
Let me see if I can find it. Maybe it's before that.
Acts 8:26.
Okay. 8:26 says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, and a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before a shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet? This is of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." Yeah, this chapter is so foundational to Christianity.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I was also going to say, Carr, you know that that guy Dustin Crenshaw that you like, that musician from Thrice? He has a song where he quotes this whole chapter.
Really? He does?
Yeah, I mean he's a Christian artist, so the whole song is just Isaiah 53.
Huh. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. That's very beautiful.
Try 54. All
Sure, go ahead, John.
right. I think we can do this. Sing, O barren, you who have not borne, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let them search out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame, for you will forget the shame of your youth, and will not re remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. For your Maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name. And your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. For the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, like a youthful wife when you were refused, says your God. For a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. For this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be angry with you, nor rebuke you. For the mountains shall not depart, or I'm sorry, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. O you afflicted one, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay your stones with colorful gems, and lay your foundations with these sapphires. I will make your pinnacles of rubies, your gates of crystal, and all your walls of precious stones. And your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Indeed, they shall surely assemble, but not because of me. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. Behold, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the spoiler to destroy. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment shall be condemned. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord.
Beautiful. Going to read one more. We still have a little time.
Okay.
O everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel. For he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Okay. This is really good.
Good study. I'm going to stop the recording
Yeah, I
now.
think we should stop the recording now. It'd be good.